Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yevamos daf Lamed Aleph. We did good yesterday in terms of making ground, and hopefully we'll repeat again today in terms of making up ground. We are on daf Chaf. We're on Chaf Tes. We just turned the page to Chaf Tes on base. Okay, two big discussions coming up today. Yesterday's daf Lamed, which we're going to get to momentarily. Really, just another big daf in terms of the world of Yesh Zika Ein Zika. We will get to that later on. In the meantime, however, let's finish up our discussion within Maimer. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf B'Lon Vazeich Nishmas Lo Lupin Zaltzman. Maimer, according to Beit Shammai, is a Kinyan Gamor. Okay, now what exactly that means is really the discussion on Chavtes Amud Beis. But we started on the bottom of Chavtes Amud Al. But first of all, what is Maimer? Like we discussed yesterday, just a quick review. Maimer is a... So funny. I'm going to start off by saying how Maimer is a king in Daraisa. Meanwhile, the next sentence coming out of my mouth is that the Chachamim legislated Maimer. Okay, so it's to be confused by Maimer is totally legitimate in terms of what exactly it is. But okay, here's the basic idea. The mitzvah of Yibum just simply means that when a Yavam and a Yavam are presented with the mitzvah of Yibum, so how do they do that mitzvah? The answer is very simple. Bia creates the mitzvah of Yibam Yavama. There's nothing else. In other words, there's no kiddushin. There's no stage in between. So what the Chachamim did is they wanted the Yavam and Yavama's relationship to look a little bit more like a regular marriage. So they did is they inserted a stage prior to the bia, and that stage is called Maimer. Later on, we'll talk exactly what the formula of Maimer is, how exactly it's done. But that's the idea behind Maimer. It's kind of like a quasi kiddushin. So, but up until now, the assumption we've been making, and the assumption we're going to continue making, is that what is Maimer? Maimer is a din derabanan. On a daraisa level, Maimer did nothing. But on a derabanan level, it created more of a connection between the Yavam and the Yavama. It kind of allows the Yavam to identify, yeah, that's the Yavama that I want. Let's assume that there are more than one brother, surviving brothers. Let's assume that there is more than one surviving co-wife. So in any event, that's the idea behind Maimer. And then Beit Shammai takes Maimer to a radical conclusion, which is that Maimer is Kona Kinyan Gamor. Beit Shammai says that when a Yavam does Maimer to a particular Yavama, so that creates a Kinyan. And it seems to be that it operates on a Daraisa level. No, it doesn't seem to be. It's more than just seem to be. Because remember the scenario that was illustrated in the Mishnah? The Mishnah talked about three brothers. Two of the brothers are married to two sisters. One brother was single, and one of the brothers died. And the single surviving brother, did Maimer, and then afterwards he dies. And so now, by him doing Maimer, what did that affect? So Beit Shammai says that by him doing Maimer, that means that it was his wife. And it will block any other connection. Good. That's Beit Shammai back in the Mishnah. So it sounds like according to Beit Shammai that Maimer operates on a Daraisa level. Fine. So to what degree is Maimer going to be a Kinyan according to Beit Shammai? That's been our discussion. Take a look back of Testament Aleph. I know we did this yesterday, but let's just quickly do this again. So the Gemara says we're going to take one short step backwards. Amar Reb Elazar lo tema Maimer leBeit Shammai kone kinyan gamor. The Ibai lafuke sagale begita. Don't tell me, explains Reb Elazar in the sheet of Beit Shammai, that Beit Shammai says that Maimer is literally a kinyan, whereby which after Maimer, let's say he decides, no, I don't want to do the mitzvah of Yibam anymore. So, but I'm married, meaning Maimer created a marriage between me and this Yavama. That's not true. In other words, if he wants to excuse her, get by itself is not going to be enough, although he has to give her a get because he did Maimer, but he's going to have to give her a get, and he's going to have to do Chalitza as well. So then if that's true, so then what is Maimer according to Beit Shammai? Ela Maimer le Beit Shammai, and according to Ela Litchos Betzara Belvad. It is a Tzara blocker. Okay, you're not going to hear that kind of terminology outside of the daf, but it's a tzara blocker, meaning what Maimer does is it creates exclusivity between the Yavam and the Yavama, so that in the event that there is any other woman being introduced, the Maimer blocks any other Zika. Rabbi Avin says, agreed. agreed with the statement of Rebbe Elazar and his understanding of Maimer according to Beit Shammai. Because Beit Shammai Amar Mikayimu. Because you look at the Mishnah, Mishnah says, Beit Shammai says, you're Mikayim. This goes back to the first Mishnah of the Perek, where we had four brothers, two of them married to two sisters, the two brothers died, the two surviving brothers now are not allowed to do Yibam with the two sisters. And if they do, so what did Beit Shammai say? Yikayimu. Yikayimu and lechatchila lo, which means that they can only do so on a b'dieved basis. Isakadach, we're now on the very top of Chav Tesamun Beis. And if you think Maimer le Beit Shammai kona kinyan gamor, so then if Maimer worked, and not only when I say worked, I mean creates a bona fide kinyan, so zeyase Maimer v'yikna v'zeyase Maimer v'yikna. So then why not have the two remaining brothers, each one of them doing Maimer, creating a kinyan gamor with one of the sisters, and why not do that? So Ella my docha dechia gemura zeyasu maimer v'yitcha v'zeyasu maimer v'yitcha. So the Gemara says, so what are you telling me? You're telling me that maimer doesn't create a king and it just blocks. So the Gemara says, okay, I'd be fine with that. Meaning of the two surviving brothers, let one of the surviving brothers do maimer according to Beit Shammai and block the zika of the other woman. Let the other brother do maimer with the other sister and block the zika from the original sister. And the Gemara says, wouldn't that be great? So to which the Gemara says, no. That first Mishnah is not going to be a good case study in terms of what Maimer accomplishes according to Beit Shammai. Because in that first Mishnah, when these two sisters are presented as Yevamas to the two surviving brothers, at that point in time, if Maimer were done, that's called Maimer Bisura. Because each one of them had a zikah to him. They're acha zikukaso. So it simply wouldn't be a good case study. That'd be maimer b'isura. We're trying to unravel, according to Beit Shammai, what maimer accomplishes when it's done beheter. So don't look at the first Mishnah to try to show what maimer could or could not do. Let's go on. Rav Ashi Masni Amar Rav Elazar. Now Rav Ashi is going to have a slightly different version. So again, so what we're doing now is we're going to do a second version of what Rabbi Elazar's understanding of Beit Shammai is. Again, we know that according to Beit Shammai, Maimer creates a kinyan. It creates some sort of legal status between the Yavam and the Yavama. So at face value, what the legal status that it does is it creates husband and wife, meaning it's kinyan gamor. So the first version of Rabbi Elazar says that it's not kinyan gamor, it's just dechia. It's just able to push off the other zikas, block the other zikas. Now we're going to have a second version in terms of what Maimer accomplishes according to Beit Shammai, as understood by Rebbe Elazar. So Rav Ashi, Masni Hachamer, Rebbe Elazar, Lotemer, Maimer, Beit Shammai, Dacha, Dechia, Gemura, Vitzarasa, Chalitza, Nami, Lobaye. So the Gemara says, it's not the pshat that when you do Maimer, it's going to block all the other co-wives, meaning in the second version, Maimer is not even a full blocker. Meaning, forget the fact that it's not a kinyan. That goes without saying. It's not even a full blocker. It creates a partial block. So Ela Doche Umishayerhu. What it does is it pushes off the other co-wives, but it's still Mishayer. It still allows for. It still requires them to have chalitza being done. Right. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says Ela Doche. Rashi right alongside where we are in the Gemara. Osa Meleeser Eishes Bal HaMaimer. Meleeser Eishes Bal HaMaimer Alav. In other words, the other co-wife won't create an Isser, but still Mishayer, Rashi, Dabai Chalitza. In Balinase Ashalo Kanase Yavam is Balas HaMaimer. So let's say he wants to now marry the Balas HaMaimer. So he's allowed to, but he still has to do Chalitza with the other wife that's being introduced as a zika. Okay, so this is much more nuanced and certainly much more difficult to understand. It blocks, but not totally. There still is a zika, but he's allowed to marry the woman that he did Maimer with, even though the woman that he did Maimer with is a sister to the new woman who's being introduced as a zika. But because he did Maimer, Maimer blocks. Even though he's now going to have to do Chalitza with the other with the other Yavama. Okay, that obviously is much more confusing, and it really is
it's an issue of timing where the Maimer comes in.
Absolutely. I'm Rabbi Abin. Avanami Taninos Rabbi Abin says, agreed. And here we're going to do it again. We're going to look at that Mishnah, the first Mishnah, and we're going to try to bring evidence to this idea from the first Mishnah. Beishamai Omri Mikaimu. Yikaimu in the Chatchila Lo. So again, the first Mishnah deals with a case of 4 and 2. Two of the four brothers are married to two sisters. The two brothers died, leaving these two sisters as widows, and now Yavamas to the two surviving brothers. What do we say in the first Mishnah? They should do Chalitza. And if they marry, so Beishamai says, Yikaimu. Okay. We didn't condone the marriage, but now that they're married, marriage can maintain. Now, if you think Maimer creates a full dichui, so why not have, again, it's the same point we made just a couple moments ago, why not have each one of the brothers do Maimer to one of the surviving sisters, to one of the widows, and good, and block the other sister? Why not do that? So the Gemara says, okay, but what I don't understand is as follows. Look at Beit Shammai in our Mishnah, meaning, good, you want to go back to the first Mishnah. But look at Beit Shammai in our Mishnah. Ishto Ima, once he did Maimer with a woman, that's his wife. And what about the other one? No, meaning, because what his Maimer did was make a full blockage so that there's not going to be any other Zika being introduced into the relationship. So Ali Yavama de Chazal Kula Chazal Miksasi Yavama. Chazal Miksasi Yavama de Lo Chazal Kula Lo Chazal Miksasa. So the Gemara ends up rejecting the second version of Rabbi Elazar's understanding of Beit Shammai. Okay, so the Rav Ashi version is too nuanced. It's just not. The Gemara just simply doesn't accept it. Either it blocks totally or it doesn't block. Okay. So far, so good. So what we've done so far is give a definition of what Maimer accomplishes according to Beit Shammai. And what it does is it blocks any other Zika. It identifies that Yavama as being your Yavama. And if there's going to be any other Zika that's going to be introduced, it's going to be blocked because of the Maimer that's done. By Rabba Maimer le Beit Shammai, Nisuin Osa or Irisin Osa. Okay, next question. Maimer. What status does it give the Yavam and the Yavama? Okay, Yavam has now a Yibam opportunity. His brother died. The widow's there waiting for Yibam, and he does Maimer. And according to Beit Shammai, we know it creates a Kinyan. Now, exactly what that means, so we have Rabbi Lazar's understanding, which is not a Kinyan Gamor, but blocking any other Zika. Fine. What status do they have now in terms of husband and wife? Is it the level of Erisin, or is it the level of Nisun? As we know, there are two stages of marriage. In every marriage, the first stage of marriage is Erisin. Engagement is not a good translation of what Erisin is. Erisin is much more than engagement. Erisin creates husband and wife. But at the point of Erisin, however, they don't live together as husband and wife. That's only at the point of Nisun. Bizman HaGemara, there used to be a year separation between Erisin and Nisun. Nowadays, approximately 5 minutes.
Huh? No longer in her father's house.
By Erisin? No, by Erisin, she still lives with the father.
Not this Yibam.
No, I understand that, but understood. But what we're asking, the inquiry of the Gemara right now is that, according to Beit Shammai, when the Yavam does Maimer with his Yavama, so it gives status now. They are quasi-husband and wife. What status did the Chachamim or the Torah... You know, I don't know how to say it. I don't know what degree Maimer operates according to Beit Shammai. But, and it's important, but just to say over the Gemara, what degree of status do they have now as husband and wife? Do they have an Erisin status, or do they have a Nisuin status? So Amale Abaye Lamayuchasa. So Abaye says, okay, good. These questions are great. They're analytical. But brass taxes, what difference does it make? So the Gemara says, well, let's talk about the halachas of Yerusha, of his ability to be metami for her, meaning we know a kohen can only be metami for a relative. In the world of brother, sister, mother, father, son, daughter, so their relationship is blood relationship. When it comes to wife, it has to be his wife. Lahafer nedera, his ability, the husband's ability to be made for neder, she makes a neder, and he wants to annul the neder. He has the ability to do so within the first 24 hours, but only that, the nederim of his wife. So Hasha Rusa Baamatini Rabbi Chiyesha Rusa Loan and Velamatamilo. Vechin Hilon and Velamatamilo. Mesa Nayersha, Mesu Gobek Suvasa. So when it comes to the world of Erusin, there is no allowance to husband to be Yorisha's wife, a husband to be have the status of an onain if his wife dies, and the only, and when I say his wife, meaning only through Erusin, only through the first stage of marriage. And he doesn't inherit her, she doesn't inherit him. And I'm giving a very quick version of these halachas. You can take a look at Rashi, because one of the things the Gemara mentions is that she's not going to become an onain on his account, even though she's a woman, and a woman don't have the same restrictions of Tumas Meis as a man does. Okay, but anyway, but let's just deal right now with the simple point of the Gemara, which is that Erusin does not create a bona fide relationship between husband and wife vis-a-vis these particular halachas. Vis-a-vis adultery, they're married. But vis-a-vis these halachas of Yerusha, of Tumah, of Onain, so they do not have status in regards to these halachas. So Ava Bamaimar Mibaye, so the Gemara says, so now, if Erusin doesn't create these kinds of halachic ramifications, and Erusin is a marriage ben Torah, so what, you really think Maimar is going to do anything? And again, because even according to Beis Shammai, who has the strongest view of Maimar, but Maimar is not Erusin. Erusin creates a bona fide status of marriage between a husband and wife. And yet, it doesn't affect these halachas. And you think Maimar is going to? So ve'ela le'inya mistir l'chupa. So the Gemara says, okay, yeah, you're right. Point very well taken. So maybe my question is, according to Beis Shammai, I know Maimar creates a status. And I understand Maimar's not going to create any of these statuses of Yerusha and Onain and Metame. I get it. But I do wonder, however, whether or not you need Mesir L'Chuppah. So Mesir L'Chuppah, meaning that we know that in order for a husband and wife to go through a second stage of marriage, they have to go through what's called Chuppah. What Chuppah is, we're not particularly sure what Chuppah is. Okay, many Rishonim have different opinions in terms of what a Chuppah actually is. It's funny, to create marriage, the first stage of marriage, Erusin, the Mishnah and Kiddushin could not be any clearer, the first Mishnah and Kiddushin, which we'll get to God willing, right, Kesef Shtar and Bia. In terms of what the Chuppah is, the Gemara is not particularly clear, and so therefore we have differing opinions. But anyway, but the point over here of the Gemara is as follows. I'm wondering now, according to Beit Shammai, if Maimar is done, whether or not there's a requirement of Mesir L'Chuppah. Mai. Nisuin also v'lo bai Mesir L'Chuppah, meaning according to Beit Shammai, does Maimar create such a marriage and such a bond between the Yav and the Yavama, at that point in time, you don't need Chuppah. Meaning, basically, for all intents and purposes, they're married. On the other hand, no. Maybe according to Beit Shammai, Maimar does create a status, but they still need Chuppah. So So the Gemara says, I understand. Again, even in this ramification, in this nafkamina, I still don't get it. What difference does it make? Meaning, the Gemara says, imagine, without Maimar. So how does a husband consummate the mitzvah of Yibum? And the answer is Bia. Bal Karcha. Even against her will. As we pointed out earlier in the Masechta, there are certain times when the woman can say no to the Yavam. But generally speaking, it's the Shidduch Min HaShamayim, and he can consummate the marriage even Bal Karcha. So the Gemara says, so now, what do you think Maimar's going to do? Do you think Maimar's going to turn the course of events and make a bia which could have been done by Karcha now have a requirement of her intent? And the Gemara's answer is basically, yeah, that's exactly what Maimar's going to do. Amalei she'ani omer kolaus Maimar biyavimto parcha meimenu zikas yivamim v'chalav zikas erusin. Maimar changes the nature of the relationship. What Maimar does is it takes it out of the classic Yibum scenario. The classic Yibum scenario would be Yavama Yavala Bakarcha. And what it does is it totally changes the nature of the relationship. Where now it's a much more classic marriage with Erusin, with then the next stage of Mesir L'Chuppah, which needs her intent. And I made this point earlier, meaning I believe, again, this is my comment. You don't have to attach it to any, you don't have to give it any credence, but I believe that one of the reasons why the Chachamim instituted Maimar in the whole in the whole Yibam Yavama structure is so that it behaves more like marriage, and it gives her an ability to opt in or not opt in. So the to give it more of a status of marriage. So the Gemara basically says exactly that. Although this Gemara, I mean, you can't take the Gemara out of context. I mean, the Gemara is right now explaining Shitas Beis Shammai. So now it's not clear whether this Gemara extrapolates to quote unquote normative halacha, meaning we don't hold like Beis Shammai, we hold like Beis Hillel. Maimer doesn't create such a kinyan. So when what the Gemara is doing in context is explaining Beis Shammai. So all I'm saying is I don't know if this necessarily translates into what we would call normative halacha. What does Maimer do? It creates a bond, but not on any type of Daraisa level. On a Durabana level. But it affects, meaning, if after Maimer he decides, no, I don't want to do it, so not only is he going to have to do Chalitza, but he's also going to have to give her a get as well. So, Maimer, according to Beis, it's funny, according to Beis Shammai, Maimer has a punch to it. You know, in other words, and it's effective, and it blocks other Zikas. According to Beis Hillel, what did we gain by Maimer? Right, that's a big question, and like all big questions, I'm not sure if I have the answer. No, if you didn't do Mimer and all you want to do is just opt out, you just do Chalitza. No,
when it's Mimer is done, both Hillel and Shammai require Chalitza
and get.
So the only difference is blocking Zika.
But that's a big difference, though. In other words, that's a huge difference. According to Beis Shammai, the Mimer that you've done to her has given now a status, which according to Beis Hillel, that's not true. She doesn't have that status. There will still be a Zika being coming in from another angle, which or from another husband. And which could create problems. Which, according to Beis Shammai, won't. Yeah, good, great question. I would guess, and I wouldn't want to try to. Yeah, I understood the question. I don't know. Meaning, exactly. Good. Yeah. Whether they hold Yeshik or not, I don't know. Now the Amoraim debate, and that's coming up later today. In terms of what we hold generally Yeshika. That's the generally accepted, halachic accepted viewpoint. Okay, let's go on. So the Gemara wants to know, okay, so we asked the question we would like to know. What does Maimer do according to Beis Shammai? So Tashma, Gemara says, how about this? Let's listen to the following. Excuse me. Shomer Yavam, Ben Yavam, Echa, Ben Shana Yavam. A woman waiting for her Yavam. She was married. Her husband unfortunately died. She had left childless. There's a surviving brother to her husband's brother. In other words, classic Yibam scenario. And she's waiting. So Bain Yavamecha Bishna Yavamim, Rabbi Lazar Ami Yafer. So Rabbi Lazar's opinion, super interesting, not halachically accepted, but Rabbi Lazar's opinion is that either one of the brothers could do can annul her vows as if they were her husband. Now, why do I say that's super interesting? Because they both can't marry her. Only one of them is going to be only one of them can marry her, and yet in the current state of her being a Shomer Yavam, they both have the ability to be made for neder. Stay tuned. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. Rav Yehoshua says, no, if there's one surviving brother, so then fine, we have what to talk about. Manavta too, and again, the classic discussion of, if there's one surviving brother, so we know, we're identifying him as the Yavam, who is the only one eligible to do Yibam, because he's the only surviving brother. So there, by one brother, we'll say there's a Zika, but not by two. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehoshua, in such a scenario, he can be made for. If there were two surviving brothers, so then they couldn't. And then the third opinion, Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo le'echa v'lo l'shnayim. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, they can't be made for neder. Why? Because only her husband can be made for neder. And right now, in the current state, they're not the husband. Fine.
After assuming he can be made.
Yeah, correct. V'havina ba, now the Gemara wants to know, Bishlam, Rabbi Kiva Savrein Zika. I feel a chad. So the Gemara says, look, Rabbi Kiva, I get. He holds Ein Zika. And even if there's one surviving brother. And the Rabbi Yeshua, l'chad yeshika l'trein Zika. And according to Rabbi Yehoshua, there's a Zika if there's one surviving brother, but not if two. But here's the part where the Gemara says, I just cannot understand. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you want to tell me he holds there's a Zika? That's great. But if there's one surviving brother, I can understand. Because not only is there a Zika, but he's clearly going to be the one. Because he's the one. But if there are two surviving brothers, how in the world can both of them have the ability to be Mefer Neder? And to that, Rabbi Ami was so bothered by this question. Rabbi Ami says, the only way I can understand Rabbi Eliezer is a scenario where there were two surviving brothers, but one of them did Mimer. And that the opinion Rabbi Eliezer follows within the Shita Beis Shammai, which parenthetically makes perfect sense because Rabbi Eliezer was a student of Beis Shammai, and he holds that Mimer creates a kinyan. Good. Now, put everything we just said together. Rabbi Eliezer says that when there are two yavams, for the woman who is Shomer's yavam, if, according to Rabbi Ami's understanding Rabbi Eliezer, one of them did Mimer with her, so now he has the ability to be made for Neder. Why? Because Mimer, according to Beis Shammai, creates a kinyan gomer. Now put all that together, and now we can answer our original question. What was our original question? What degree of status does Mimer accomplish according to Beis Shammai? An Erisin status or an Nisuin status? The Gemara says, okay, now we know the answer. So, or at least we think we do. So the, Iyamad Bishlama, Nisuin Osa, Mishum Hachim Efer, Ala Iyamad Erisin Osa, Hechim Hachim Efer. If Mimer only created an Erisin status, and Arus and an Arusa are not married to the degree where they can be made for Nadar and Vatanan. We know it's a Mishnah. Nara Murasa Vil Bala Mefir Nadara. When you have a woman who is a Nara, she just became mature. And that maturity point only lasts for 6 months. We'll talk more about this later in our Masechta, later in other Masechtas. And she's an Arusa. So who does the Hafara? She makes a Nadar. It's a joint effort done by her father and her arus. So avio bala mefir nedareha. So the only way to understand Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is only if Mimer creates what degree of relationship between the Yavam and Yavama, only that of Nisuin, not that of Erisin. So Amar of Nachma Yitzchak, my mefir b'shutva. So the Gemara deflects. You know what the Gemara wants to do, even though it seems like we have a proof, but it's not a bona fide proof, and the Gemara is going to deflect. Number one, the Gemara says, could be that that's that what Rabbi Eliezer was describing was, yes, the Baal HaMimer can be made for Neder, but only in partnership with her father. Maybe that's what he meant. Okay, a little bit of a doche, but fine, that's one suggestion.
So you're saying that either brother has to do it with the father?
Correct. Or to be more specific, the brother who did Mimer can do it, but only in conjunction with the father. That's one answer. She was already married. Maybe the marriage she went through was only Erisin, not Nisuin. Your question's good.
Let me think
more about it, but your question's good. So Ula Rav Laza Damar Maimala Beishama Inukona Ella Lidchal Zasar Bavada Mai Mefer Bishudvus. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's reintroduce Rav Laza back into the discussion. Because remember, what did Rav Laza say? Again, the Amora Rav Laza, in his understanding of Beishama. He says that, according to Beis Shammai, Mimer creates only blockage. It's only able to block other Zikas, but doesn't create a status of kinyan. So, Amalcha Rav Lazar, Eimer da Amre Ana, Eino Konele, Tchosu Sar Bavad, Delo Sagale Begita. So, the Gemara says, even Rav Lazar has to be understood in context. What I'm saying is not that there's no kinyan. No, Mimer creates a kinyan, according to Beis Shammai. I'm just talking in the context of Yibum. Which means elabai nami chalitza lafer nedara. I'm sorry, elabai nami chalitza. In the context of Yibum, what I'm saying is again, Rabbi Elazar's explanation of Beit Shammai is that it blocks all the other zikas, but it doesn't create them husband and wife status. Meaning, let's say after Mimer, even according to Beit Shammai, let's say he changes his mind. What is he going to have to do? So he's going to have to give her a get because he did Mimer, but he's also going to have to do chalitza. It doesn't create a bona fide marriage. That's all I'm saying. But in other arenas of halacha, it does create a status. Lafin nedara mi amrinan? You don't think that they have status in terms of husband and wife? Legabe nedarim, as it pertains to the neder? No, sure it does. Okay, so in other words, even within Rabbi Elazar's understanding of Beit Shammai, it's only in the context of Yibum, which I'm saying it's a blocker, but it's not a full kinyan. In other areas of halacha, it's a full kinyan. And then the Gemara says, and look, even the first answer that was proposed by Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that who could be mefer? The Baal Maimer in conjunction with her husband. But the Gemara says, but even that, you know, is a stretch, because that's not what the Braisa says. The Braisa says Yafer in the singular. And you want to tell me now that it's done as a joint venture of her husband and her father? That's very difficult. So the Gemara says we could suggest maybe another pshat, which is as follows. They are just a Yavam and a Yavama. She's waiting, and he's not doing anything. And she's waiting. And she's waiting. And finally, Beis Din, what the exact parameter of time is, I don't know. And finally, Beis Din goes over to the Yavam and says, look, you got to do something. Okay? Do Yibam, do Chalitza, you got to do something. You want to do Yibam? Fine. You want to do Chalitza? That's fine. But I'll tell you what, though. She's not been waiting for some time. I don't know what that some time is, but she's not been waiting for some time. You know what? Beis Din comes up and orders a court ruling that you are now going to have to support her. Okay. And here's where it gets interesting. I mean, it already is, but here's where this part gets interesting. So, Uchadra Pinchas, Mishmei Derava, Damar Pinchas, Mishmei Derava, Kol HaNederes, Al Das Baala, Hino Deres. And it's almost like time of the crow. Why does the husband have a right and ability to annul his wife's Nedarim? Because understood that the wife is being supported by the husband. Understood that she makes a neder built into every neder that she makes is a condition. I'm really only making the neder assuming that my husband is agreeable. And if my husband is not agreeable, then my neder from the get-go is no good. What Rav Pinchas is doing is giving time of decree. It's the reason why the Torah allows the husband to be made for her wife's nedarim, because she's making the neder with that built-in tonight. And with time of decree, we can even extend the halacha. Meaning, let's not even say that they're actually married, they're husband and wife. But the court issued a ruling, and the court said to this man, look, she's been waiting a long time, you're the yavam, you haven't been doing anything, you're now going to have to support her. Okay, and to that, okay, so he starts supporting her. So now, even though they're not husband and wife, but because he's supporting her, so therefore, she's now in the mindset of, I'm only going to make the neder if my, whatever you want to call him, right, not my husband, but my supporter, my sponsor, only if he's agreeable to it. So the Gemara says that could be the scenario in which Rabbi Elazar would say, then this man has the right to be made for her wife's, I didn't mean wife. Hoshemer's Yavam's neder. Wife to be. Your Sasha. Okay.
Maybe she'll go back.
I don't know. I don't know. Okay. All right. Well, let's. As far as the Dharma is concerned, we go like Rabbi Kiva. So even if it's one, he has not the right to be made for. Now it's interesting because the way the Gemara explained Rabbi Kiva is Ein Zika, which is confusing because we hold Yesh Zika. So, but okay. We are now starting at the top of, we're now at the very top of Lamed. Okay, we are going to go through four cases. I'm going to go through it quickly, probably too quickly. Okay, I apologize in advance. But basically the four cases that we're going to take us through is basically going to once again take us through the world of Yesh Zika or Ein Zika. Okay, and the good news is that every one of the cases start the same. Right, you see in our Mishnah, four Mishnayos, four cases. They all start the same, they don't all end the same, and each one of them is making a specific point. And the confusion of today's daf, really yesterday's daf, is that the point made in Mishnah number one and the point made in Mishnah number four are going to be two opposite points, contradictory to one another. That's a problem, so as we go through it, keep that in mind. Meaning the conclusion from Mishnah number one, the conclusion of Mishnah number four, are not going to be agreeable to one another. Okay, let's start. Shlosha Achim. So we're always going to start with three brothers in every one of the four cases that we're going to see. And let's give them names, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Okay. And Shnayim Mehem Nesuim Shtei Achayos. And Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters. And Echa Nasuin Achris. And the third one, Levi, is married to a non-sister. Nachris over here just simply means she's not related. She's Jewish. She's just not related to the other two women. So Mesech Amibale Achayos. So one of the brothers dies. So let's say Shimon dies. Vekanes Nasui Nachris Es Ishto. And now Levi marries his wife, otherwise known as the mitzvah of Yibum. And Levi's in a perfect position to do so. In fact, Levi's the only one who could do so. Reuven can't marry her because for Reuven, she's Achos Ishto. She's his wife's sister. She's an Erva. So Reuven can't do the mitzvah of Yibum. So the only one available to do it is going to be Levi. And he does. Umeis. And now Levi dies. Harishona Yotza Mishum Achos Isha. Ushnia Mishum Tzarasa. Now remember, now Levi had now two wives. One of his wives was Achos Isha. The other wife was a woman. But what were they? They were co-wives. What do we learn on day one of our Masechta? That when you have an Erva and you have Tzaras Erva, they're both going to be Pater from the Mitzvah of Yibum. And that's our Mishnah. That's exactly our Mishnah's point. Good. Also, by Maimer, let's say Levi did Maimer with this woman. So again, Shimon dies. Shimon now leaves a widow. And Levi does Maimer. And we're not going like Beis Shammai right now. We're going to be going like Beis Hillel. So Levi does Maimer, Umeis, and now Levi dies. So now, Levi died leaving how many widows? One or two? On a Torah level, one. So therefore, Nachris Cholesev Zolomis Yabemis. Reuven now has a Zika with Levi's widow. But out of respect to Maimer, and because Maimer creates the perception that Levi died with two widows, and because one of the two widows is an Erva, so therefore Reuven's not going to be doing Yibum with the quote-unquote other wife, even though they're not really Tzaras. But because of Maimer, so therefore Reuven's going to do only Chalitza with the wife of Levi.
What is
Mimer
requires
Chalitza? Huh?
Having
done Mimer creates a perception of them being co-wives, and based on that perception, so therefore Reuven's only going to do Chalitza, he's not going to do Yibum. Right. But it doesn't change the Zika, there's still going to be a Zika. Now, time dava my Mimer alo ava ba Mimer nachris yivam enami miyavna. Now, the Gemara says, okay, now, let's just move one variable in the Mishnah. And that is, let's say Levi didn't do Maimer. Okay, so let's go over the sequence of events. Shimon dies, leaves his wife as a widow. And now Levi dies. And Levi did nothing. Levi didn't even do Maimer. So what can Reuven do? Again, the Mishnah doesn't say it, but it's pretty clear from the Mishnah. What Reuven could do is marry Levi's widow. You could have made the argument, no, he can't, because of the Zika. Because now the Zika is such where when Shimon died, I'm talking about the death of the first brother. When Shimon died, so now Levi, who's the only one who could have done Yibum to Shimon's widow, now is connected to her through a Zika. And you could have made the argument that Levi's wife and Shimon's widow are co because of that Zika. You could have made that argument. And then if and when Levi dies, Reuven now obviously can't marry his wife's sister and can't marry the other wife as well because they were co-Zikas. You could have made that argument. Sounds like from the Mishnah we're not making any of that argument. Amar Rav Nachman, Zosameris, Ein Zika, Ve'afil Becharacha. So Rav Nachman says, what do you see from our first Mishnah? You see from our first Mishnah, Ein Zika. That's what you see. And even if it's only one brother. Now again, over here, how many brothers were there? There were really two upon the death of Shimon. But we discount Reuven because it's Reuven's wife's sister. So he's totally out of the discussion in terms of doing Yibum. The only one eligible for Yibum when Shimon dies is going to be Levi. And meanwhile, he didn't do it, and Levi dies, and we don't view these two women as co-Zikas. Okay. So Rav Nachman says, what do you see from our first Mishnah in Zika? Mishnah number two. Okay, good. Stay tuned. So case number two. I have three brothers. Two of them are married to two sisters. Again, we start the same every time. And Levi is married to a non-sister. Another woman. So here in this case, now Levi dies. And now, Echami Balechas, I'm sorry, Echami, yeah, Echami Balechas es Ishto, I'm sorry, Vikanas, I left out the verb. I'm thinking, where's the verb? Vikanas Echami Balechas es Ishto. And so now, let's say that Shimon does Yibum, which he's totally entitled to do. And now, Umeis, and now Shimon dies. And the Mishnah now says what's going to happen, what's the result? Both of Shimon's widows are going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum. Both his original wife and his new wife. His original wife because she's Achuz Isha. Because she is Reuven's wife's sister, an Erva. And what about the other wife? Sarah's Erva. In fact, by the way, you think about it and you realize, what's the difference between Mishnah 1 and 2? They're both making the same exact point. It's rinse, repeat. Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that very question. And if Maimer is done, so then... if Shimon did Maimer with Levi's wife, with Levi's widow, and then Shimon dies, so again, Minatora, how many widows does Shimon leave? Minatora, one widow. So really, this is still Me'ikar Hadin, Levi's widow. And really, there's a Zika between Reuven and Levi's widow. But again, out of deference to Maimer, which Maimer creates that perception that Shimon was married to both. So therefore, no Yibum, but only Chalitza is done to the wife of Levi. To the widow of Levi. Hasulam Ali, Hainoach. So the Gemara says, I don't understand why there were two Mishnahs which are essentially making the same point. Which is Hashem Mahasam Dachos Isha Haviyatzar La Nachris Amar Nachris Asura Hachad Nachris Haviyatzar La Achos Isha Lo Kol Shekein. And in fact, this second Mishnah over here is so unnecessary. It's less of a chiddush than the first Mishnah. Now let's see if I can articulate this clearly and succinctly. Why is this less of a chiddush than the first Mishnah? Because in the first Mishnah, Levi took on Shimon's wife. Meaning, what did Levi introduce into his life? He introduced an erva into his life. And not an erva to him, obviously, but an erva to Reuven. So really, from Levi's perspective, his second wife, right, you'll forgive me for using such terminology, the attachment is not, she's not the co-wife of an erva. His first wife was a co-wife to the newly brought on board erva. And there, in that case, what do we say? That if and when Levi dies, so to Reuven, they're both co-wives. And co-wife to an erva, even though the erva was the one that came on second on board. In the second Mishnah, it's not as big a chiddush. In the second Mishnah, Shimon was originally married to the erva, meaning erva to Reuven, meaning it's Achos Isha. And then he takes on another wife. There, you can easily digest the fact that in that scenario, she is Achos, she is Saros Erva. Levi's wife to Shimon is the co-wife to an Erva because Shimon's original wife. So Tanahach, Tana Bereisha, Vahach, Azaleterah, Visharya. So the Gemara gives us a little history in Mishnayos. You know what we thought originally? We thought that the Mishnah's Chiddush, the first Mishnah's Chiddush was so big, they originally thought Mutter. That's what they originally thought. And Vahadar Chazal Yisur, but then they realize, no, co-wife is co-wife is co-wife. Meaning it doesn't matter who came on board first, who came on board second, doesn't matter. Meaning once you're co-wife of an erva, you're the co-wife of an erva, even if you were wife number one or wife number two. Va'aydi dechaviv alei akhtamah mishnah lozozim imkoma. And the first Mishnah now is a bigger chiddush. They loved it so much, meaning the bigger chiddush. Right, that which generates like more of a novel point. They put that one first. They kept that one first. And even though you're right, the second Mishnah now becomes totally superfluous because the second Mishnah is not as great as the Chiddush as the first Mishnah because the first Mishnah is telling us that co-wives of an erva is going to be co-wife of an erva, even if the erva was coming on board number two, doesn't matter. Still the co-wife of an erva, and that's a bigger Chiddush. And still they kept the second Mishnah intact. Even though at this point in time it's much less of a chiddush. Okay, next. Third case. Shlosha achim shnai mehem nesum shtei achayos v'echa nasui nachris. Again, the starting point, of course, is the same. Three brothers, two of them are married to two sisters, one is married to a non-sister. Echa mebala achayos, meis echa mebala achayos v'kanas nasui nachris es ishto. Okay. One of the brothers who was married to the sister died. So let's have Shimon die. and Kanas Nasri Nachris Es Ishto. And so now Levi takes in Shimon's widow as a Yavama, as his wife. Umesa Ishto Shel Sheni. And then what happens is Reuven's wife dies. So now Reuven's wife is dead. So now, even though historically at one point in time, Shimon's wife was an erevit to him, but not now, and now Levi died, interestingly enough, Reuven cannot marry Levi's wives. Now, I did say wives, and I think we're going to include both. One is an erva, and one is the co-wife of an erva. Now, this is interesting. One is an erva, yes and no. Meaning, she once upon a time was an erva, although currently she's not. Remember, again, the sequence of events. Shimon dies. Levi picks up his wife as a through the mitzvah of Yibum. And then Reuven's wife dies. So, when Reuven's wife dies, so now both of Levi's wives now are not Arayos. One because she never was, and one because upon the death of Reuven's wife, she now is no longer isn't. And yet, if and when Levi dies, Reuven can't take either. Now,
once an erva, always an erva.
That's true, but in the world of sisters, the answer is no. That's not true by sisters. Right? In sisters, when one sister dies, one is allowed to marry the other sister. So what's behind this is that once a woman has been disqualified from Yibum, she always will be disqualified. Now, you remember Rav and Rav Yochanan, we did this just a couple days ago. We talked about eligible, ineligible, eligible. But we all agreed, and it's because of this Mishnah right over here, that if when initially presented, because when this woman was initially presented to Reuven, meaning upon the death of Shimon, she was ineligible. And once ineligible for Yibum, always ineligible. Now the Gemara's response to that is, we knew that. Amar of Yud, Amar Rav, Kol Yivama Shein, Nani Kori Ba, B'Shas Nefila, Yivama Yivama Olari, Keshet Ach, Sheish Labanim Basura, Maikamash Mantanina. So the Gemara quotes a statement from Rav Yud, Amar Rav. So now the Gemara asks, Rav Yud, Amar Rav, you're an Amora. You're telling me a Chiddush. It's not a Chiddush. It's a Mishnah. So Tanina raised us through a lava lam, it's over Nestor Allah Shah Sachas. Mao de Tema Hanimila, Hechadol Echzele Benefila Rishona, Va Hechad Echzele Benefila Rishona, Amit Tishtari Kamash Malan. Gemara says, I'll tell you, Rav Yehuda Marav is telling us a Chiddush. And why? Imagine. Let's look at the same exact scenario as we just had in our Mishnah. Shimon died. Shimon leaves now his wife for the mitzvah of Yibum. In our Mishnah, what happened? Levi took her up as the Yavama. But let's imagine that's not exactly what happened. Let's change just one variable. And that is that after Shimon died, then Reuven's wife died. So during Yibum process, now this woman became eligible to Reuven. Huh? So what the Gemara is entertaining is a Havamina. I might have thought, I understand right now, no. But maybe in a future Yibum scenario, i.e. when Levi dies, maybe Reuven can pick her up. Again, this is just a Havamina. So the Gemara says, Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, that's what Rav Yehuda Marav is coming to teach us. Hanami Tanina, the Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you the truth. That's also not much of a Chiddush. That's a Mishnah coming up later on. Shnei Achim Nisnum Shnei Achayos. Two brothers married to two sisters. Mesa Achim Mehem Ve'achakach Mesa Ishto Shel Sheni. One of the brothers died. And then the wife of the other brother dies. I raise a Asura Lav Olam Is Hoven Asura Lav Shachas. So Reuven can never marry his Yavama. Why? Because since at the time of Nefila she was listed to him, regardless of whether did Yibum, didn't do Yibum, doesn't matter, even though it's in process. And you freeze frame the moment of Nefila, meaning when the other brother dies, if at that point in time she's ineligible, she always will be ineligible. So the Gemara once again says, I still need Rav Yehuda Marav. Ma'o detei ma'asam huda idchelei mehai besa lagamrei. Because in that Mishnah, what were there? There were two brothers, two sisters, they were married to one another. The Gemara says, fine. When one brother dies, she was rejected from the entire family. Because there was only one brother. In our case over here, there were three brothers.
Remember, when Shimon died, she was rejected from Reuven, but she wasn't rejected from Levi. Again, the argument you could have made is, okay, but she may have been rejected to Reuven, but she wasn't rejected to the family, so maybe her connection to Levi will allow her at a later historical point that it's for Reuven to do Yibam if at a later point in time she becomes eligible to Reuven. Again, that's a Hav Amina. The Gemara says that's what we're coming to reject. The Hav Amina would have been that since she was eligible to Levi, so then maybe at a later point in time, if and when she becomes eligible to Reuven, she can then marry Reuven, Kamash Malan, then no. At the point of Nefila, she's ineligible. She will always be ineligible, even if the reason of ineligibility no longer is present. Fourth case. Again, we start off with the same starting point. Girish Echa Mibale Achayos Es Ishto. Shimon gets a divorce from his wife. Okay. Umeis Nasu Enachris V'Kansa. Hamigarish. And now Levi dies, and Shimon does Yibum. Now, that means that historically, Shimon's wife, first wife, and his new wife were never co-wives. And moreover, let's say it even stronger. Not only were they never co-wives, not even a Yibum setting they were co-wives. Meaning, the Mishnah sets up the case in which Shimon divorced his wife prior to even the Yibum opportunity, before the Yibum candidacy. So what does the Mishnah say? So our Mishnah says, you go back all the way to day one of Yivamos. That was exactly the point we made on day one of Yivamos, which is that they were never co-wives. And because they were never co-wives, so now Reuven's totally entitled to marry Shimon's widow. Because even though, if you looked at Shimon's life, at one point he was married to an erva, it's true. But not now.
They never started them.
Now, time of the Girish Achar Kach Meisav HaMeisvach HaGirish Asura. The Gemara says, but let's do one thing. Let's just change one little variable in the case. And let's look at a scenario in which First Levi dies, and then Shimon divorces his wife. Now, granted, they were never co-wives, but they were co-wives through a Zika. And look, our Mishnah doesn't say it, but the Mishnah was obviously trying to avoid this case. Why? Amar Avashi Zosameris Yesh Zika. You know why the Mishnah was avoiding this case? Because our Mishnah is holding there is a Zika. I feel betray Ache. And think about it. Who died? Levi died. And his wife was eligible for either Reuben or Shimon. And yet we're going to say Yesh Zika. So now, here we go. Right, we get to finish off by concluding the point that we start off with today. I have Mishnah number one, I have Mishnah number four. What do we say for Mishnah number one? Ein Zika. What do we say for Mishnah number four? Yesh Zika. Good. Okay, tomorrow we start with trying to resolve the discrepancy between Mishnah number one and Mishnah number four.